Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome one and all, and happy Mother's Day. And we have a perfect topic for today because I have a special guest, and we are going to be talking about Pamela Pixie Coleman Smith. And I like to think of her as being the mother of modern tarot. So welcome to another episode of Magic Universe with Sharona. And I am your host, I'm your magical mama, and I like to call myself now the metaphysical storyteller, Sharona Rapsick. And just to tell you a little bit about me, I'm an angel whisperer, and yes, I really do talk to angels, and I am also a tarot master teacher, an angel Reiki master, and I'm a life coach, and I am also a teacher of the magical and intuitive arts. And I am coming to you live from the Big Apple, New York City. And I always like to talk about what is going on in regarding the moon, because we do talk about magic, and the moon is really powerful in helping us manifest and be who we are. And today, we have this morning a fiery moon, which is in Aries, and it's going to be moving into the sign of Taurus later this evening. And according to one of my favorite mentors and friends, the fabulous Teresa Reed, the tarot lady, one of the things that she talks about is that the moon is exalted in Taurus. And, you know, it means that this is a time when we can be really happy. It's a really good time for manifestation and, you know, pampering yourself with luxurious meals. And also it's good for love, and it's a good time to beautify your home, buy beautiful things for yourself, and just do a little extra pampering for yourself. And things are really going on with the moon. Tomorrow we'll be going into what's known as a dark moon phase. And that is a really fantastic time to focus on what needs to be released from your life so that you can grow and you can manifest. Let me just take a sip of water here. And on Tuesday, we're going to have a new moon. And that's a really important time. So later on the show, I'll be talking more about how to use a little moon magic. So I am so happy that you are joining me here today. This little radio show is all about awakening and embracing your inner personal power and self-confidence and creating magic and miracles in all areas of your life, all with a little bit of help from your angels and your guides and that wonderful divine and loving conscious energy of the magic universe, which, yes, we are all part of. So if you are ready to live your magic and be who you really are, then join me during this hour. And I'm going to invite you to step into your true magic. Okay, let me just tell you that the show today is brought to you by the Psychic Talk Radio Network. And that is the one and only radio network with spirit and psychic you. So you can go and visit www.psychictalknet, and you'll learn more about our past as well as our upcoming radio show, our hosts, as well as our online courses that we offer there. So while you're there, you might want to check out my Certified Angel Reiki Practitioner course. And that's an online course, and it's the only course where you will get certified both as a Yasui Reiki Master as well as an Angel Reiki Master. Now, this show is also brought to you by the IAAP. Now, that stands for the International Association of Angel Practitioners, which is the very first worldwide organization that was formed to educate, celebrate, and support spiritual practitioners and entrepreneurs around the world. So you may want to go visit www.angelpractitioners.com to learn even more. Okay, Magic Universe with Sharona is a live call-in radio show, and we are live right now. And here we talk about such topics as angels, crystals, energy healing, tarot and oracle cards, astrology, the law of attraction, and especially how to raise your energy so that you can have good high vibrations. And that's how you bring love and magic into your life. And that's what we're all about. And Magic Universe is on the air live, always on the second and fourth Sunday of each and every month. So you can listen to our show on the World Wide Web at psychictalk.net on your internet browser. But another way that you can listen in, too, is you can use your telephone. And you can call in. And this reminds me also to tell you that we are, right, a live call-in show. So if you'd like to maybe have a little mini reading, an angel message, a little bit of angel Reiki, or talk to our special guest today, or even just to say hi, the number that you want to call in is 714-816-4628. Once again, that is 714-816-4628. Now, that's to listen, but that's not all. You can be live on the air. And what you need to do, though, so that I know that that's what you want to do, is you will need to press the number 1 on your phone keypad. And this will allow me to see on the switchboard that you want me to take your call. Now, we do take our calls in the order that they're received, so I always say don't hang up because you will lose your place in the line. Now, also during our live shows, you can join us in our little chat room. And that one you want to go to, you can go to psychictalk.net/chat. And that will take you, you have to be on Facebook, and it'll take you into our Facebook group. And I will be also, you know, flipping back and forth from the switchboard to see if there's anyone in there that wants to contribute to the conversation today or would like maybe a little mini reading. Okay. Now that we've got that all out of the way, it is time for us to rock and roll. Okay, now today I am so excited because I have a really special guest today, Susan Wands. And she is a renowned actor. She's also a producer. And she is also an expert on the life of Pamela Pixie Coleman Smith. And even more, she is the author of a book series, which is known as The Magician and Fool Book Series. Now, if you hear those words, magician and fool, what does that remind you of? It is the tarot cards. So for people who love tarot cards, this is the perfect series for them. So, without further ado, welcome Susan. Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Hi. Hi, Sharona. How are you?
I'm good. It's a really nice day today. So we've got good weather. I've actually got the door open to my terrace. So if you hear a little bit of honking horns going by, you'll know that I'm live from New York City. It's so great to have you here today, Susan.
Yes, I'm so thrilled you've called this the day to celebrate Pamela Coleman Smith, the mother of tarot. Because in so many ways, Sharona, she really was the birthing mother of the modern tarot deck that we know today.
Indeed, indeed. You know, it's amazing. I mean, she created like a language. You know, her artwork, I don't know, it really speaks to everyone.
I think so. And, you know, the fact that she had her beginnings writing children's stories, that on this Mother Day, we're looking back and seeing all the children that are in the Waite-Smith Tarot deck. I always talk about the death card, how the only person that's looking up at the skeleton death is the young child. I think Pixie really saw that children were the regenerative force in terms of what were these images in the tarot cards. And you look at the cups, sweets, and the minors. There's so many happy children. In the Six of Cups, there's the two children holding the cup in the garden. In the Ten of Cups, there's the happy couple with the two children dancing. And she really understood the joy of children and what children meant in terms of the long-range ideas of starting over and being a mother. She, in some ways, she was the mother of 78 images. You know, she really understood how to put these images out into the world that have lasted 100 years and more since she has passed on. It's amazing.
Indeed, yes. I never thought of it that way, that these cards were her 78 children, and how these 78 cards have gone forth from, you know, the turn of the century. They've survived 100 years. I think they're more popular now than they've ever been. And
certainly in
her
lifetime, she never experienced the success that they have now. And even in her depictions of, like, teenagers, they weren't really called teenagers then, but, you know, you have, like, in the cups, the Four of Cups, there's sort of like the surly adolescent with his arms crossed sitting under the tree like, no, I don't want the cup. So she really understood all stages of being a mother to unruly offspring in some ways. And her pages and all the young people, the children that she did have in her artwork, she really had an affinity with children. She designed and directed pageant plays for children. Her very first audience in 1895 was for an audience of 200 people, mostly children, in Jamaica. And she was telling them the folk tales that became her Aunt Nancy stories. But I think she had such a strong affinity with being not only psychic, but with the ideas about what appeals to people in terms of giving them hope, of giving them ideas about what these images communicate. And whether she realized it or not, she very much was a mother artist in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That is so, so true. I'm like looking at my, you know, the cards that have the younger people on them or the pages cards. And yeah, I definitely, you know, see what you're talking about. And I'm also looking at the queen cards, too, and how, you know, the motherly woman that's there, you know, just more stricter but yet approachable, and the queen of swords.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
And the empress card.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a powerful card to get, you know, the woman who is pregnant, is having a growth inside of her, that we understand how to nurture what is the divine empress in all of us. Just such a wonderful idea of the circle of life in terms of bringing out all the things we go through. How do we address these issues? It's an amazing blueprint. And if you can really understand how the tarot can identify with what you're going through when you're having a reading, is an amazing experience.
Yeah. I mean, the images, I mean, we were talking privately earlier, and how, you know, they are, you know, they're very timeless. I mean, you can, and also they speak to everyone. You can, you know, anyone can look at the cards and the images, and they can, you know, pick up a meaning. And what I think is so cool was the fact that she was involved in theater. So each card, I mean, it's like, you know, you're looking at an actor that, you know, they're wearing their actor costumes, but it's almost like someone said, okay, you are going to in your body, and I mean the expressions and the body positions are also incredible too. You're going to enact what this card means, and I'm just kind of blown away by that. And I know that you know, this is something that you can talk more about because you come from a theater background.
Yes, and so much of her cards almost are theater posters. When Pamela went to the School of Art, she was also studying the Japanese style of minimalism in terms of how you a graphic on a page. And just for instance, looking at the Six of Swords, where you have a mother and a small child in a boat, and there's someone rowing the boat away from the shore, and there's seven swords in the front of the boat. And that image is so potentially full of all sorts of images, but it's up to you to interpret, just like theater. It's the best of Shakespeare is done when you can imagine, because it's tapped into your participation. And that, for me, is Pixie's brilliance. Is yes, she, I think it was Lady Harris, the woman who helped create the Faust cards with Aleister Crowley. She accused Pamela's Tarot deck of being childish, but I think they're accessible in the best possible way because they ask you to participate with your imagination and with your intuition. So there is something theatrical about them, but she also used this idea of the Japanese sparse lines in terms of saying, no, you fill out the rest. You take your mind and you apply what you think is a queen or a king or even death. How does that apply to you? And I think in some ways she was really intuitively aware about what speaks to us, not only in black and white, but in the colors. How she uses the reds especially is very potent in terms of frequency. And you know, red means blood. Red means sunset. Red means any sorts of things to any number of people, but it's a very vital vibration that she uses very sparingly in most of her cards. So I think in some ways, her ability to understand about what is an effective message in a tarot card still lives on today and inspires many, many different cards, many decks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, every day, you know, I'm always like looking at the posts that are done on tarot cards. It seems like a new person is creating another deck. And I do collect tarot decks, but it's funny, as far as for reading, I always come back to the deck that was illustrated by Pamela, or Pixie, as we like to call her, because, I mean, it was just, I mean, just to look at how she captured motion, that it's like a photograph was taken. They were moving, but it's like the stop action. And, you know, I also love, you know, she didn't just create the tarot cards. I have been, you know, I wasn't aware of a lot of her other artwork. And I just love how, like, she captured, like, there was, like, a series, I think it's called The Land of Heart's Desire, and it's, like, dancing women. And, you know, how, I mean, you know, those girls are really dancing. And yet it's you know, I mean, there's just the emotion and everything is captured, you know. Because, like, you know, I always like to tell people, you know, I didn't know this until here recently, that she did other things besides the tarot card, and she was really, I mean, this woman was really an amazing artist.
She came from a very famous family of painters. Her uncle, Samuel Coleman, was one of the Hudson School of Painters, he actually was a huge collector of Japanese art. So I think in some ways he might have influenced her about understanding the sparse lines and the idea of composition and the vanishing point. But Pamela was insatiable in terms of creation. She did miniature theater. She designed wallpaper. She designed sets. She did costumes. I mean, she threw everything at the wall. And the thing that I love, one of the most things I love about Pamela is the fact that she was curious about life. She, just think of it, she was born in 1878. And she had 22 transatlantic voyages in her lifetime. And in her lifetime, there was air travel. There was electricity. There was telegrams and lights. It's what she saw in her lifetime was amazing. And especially from the years, I would say 1904 to 1912, she was absolutely prolific. And the tarot cards was just a very small output of all the things that she created. And her artwork is just gorgeous. There's a new book that's coming out in August by Dr. Elizabeth Foley O'Connor, and she'll be releasing some newly discovered artwork that has been recently released by family members. And I think people are going to be just blown away at what a gorgeous hand she had in terms of painting and designing and drawing. She was so gifted on so many fronts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, and then the life that she lived, that she was there with the movement for women to get the vote. You know, I mean, this is a modern woman. And, you know, she, you know, contributed to so many things that were going on in the world. And like you said, she saw so much. I mean, she saw basically two wars in England. You know, she helped out with the effort, I know, for the World War One, but she was there for, you know, the Second War. And, you know, she saw a lot, you know, and you know, took it all in and created art.
Yes, and she's also very creative in terms of creating co-ops with other women. And she would belong to this organization called the Atelier for the Suffragettes, and she taught them how to do color blocking to make posters. So they joined together in terms of she was very much a collaborator, whether it was with the Lyceum Theater or with Bram Stoker. And one of Bram's last books, Lair of the White Worm, she illustrated that book, and she did many book covers. She published a newspaper. She did a broad print, which were these broadsheets that were individually made, and she had some of the most amazing contributors of the day. She had W.B. Yeats and his family, and you know, all the thinkers and movers of the Golden Dawn of the day were contributing to this independent newspaper that she published. I mean, talk about authors getting out into the world, and if you can't find an audience, you'll put it out there anyway. That's what Pamela did. She was not afraid to get her artwork out there, even if it meant she did it on her dime. She was just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you actually, you know, I've been to England, but I never got the opportunity on that trip to visit Cornwall. And I believe you actually went to Cornwall where Pixie lived in the latter part of her life. So I'd love to hear more about that, about, you know, the house that she had. I think it was called
The Lizard,
because... Right. Yeah, not because they had a lot of lizards there, but it was just, that part of England looks like a lizard.
Right. It's actually in Lizard, Cornwall, and she had gotten a family inheritance. She was never very good with money, but she decided she wanted to open like a little Airbnb or a little hotel for her Catholic priest friends because she was a fervent Catholic in her latter years. And so she loved priests. She loved holding mass. She had a crucifix on her front door, which, of course, in that part of the world, her neighbors were not that crazy about her having a crucifix on her front door. But she was actually having people over and having masses in her little room and so forth. She ran out of money there, and then she ended up relocating to Bude, which is in the northern part of Cornwall, with her housekeeper, Nora Lake. Nora Lake and her husband were quite a bit older. And when she lived in Lizard, they were helping her take care of the rectory and the household. And when he passed away, Nora came up with her and lived near her and with her in Bude for a while. She was quite a character because I've noticed that a lot of the houses that she lived in were these beautiful white stucco buildings, which are very similar to houses that are in Jamaica, where she lived from the time that she was 10 until she was 15. And she loved to live by the sea. So I think in some ways her early years when she was living in St. Andrews in Jamaica really imprinted on her what was home. I was fortunate enough to be part of this Mythical England tour with Mary Greer and Linda Marson, and we got to go to, first of all, we got to go to Stonehenge and have a sunrise full moon ceremony, which was just absolutely amazing. And we went to Tintagel, which has this big Camelot castle where supposedly Pamela met Henry Irving and pitched her performance, her production of Henry Morgan, the pirate, to him. So, of course, I didn't find this out until after we left, but there were many times when we were in this big, spooky sort of castle hotel where we all actually did sort of feel Pamela's vibrations. And then the next day or two, we went up to Bude, and we met a lovely woman named Dawn Robinson, who has actually written a book about Pamela and her conversion to Catholicism. And she took us to the church, St. Michael and the Archangel's Church, where Pamela was buried in an unmarked grave. She died in debt, and the Catholic Church did not accept her to be buried there at the time. So we had a little ceremony, the group of us that were on tour then, and we had a lovely thank you circle where we went around the group and just thanked Pamela for everything that she did. I got a little choked up because I had so much I wanted to say to her at the time, and I couldn't really say it. And one of the very lovely people that were part of this tour, Rose, she could see I was in distress, and she said, you know, she knows. You don't have to tell her everything. She knows that you meant a lot to her. And she also knows that the tarot cards wasn't the only thing that she did, so you don't have to say that. So when we went back to the bar that night at the Camelot Hotel, we had a little pendulum, and we were asking Pamela yes or no questions. And, you know, who knows how this falls out, Sharona, but we really, Pixie was talking to us that night, and that she was telling us everything is going to be okay. It doesn't matter if you find my grave. I'm thrilled that the tarot cards are out there in the world. It's sort of a nice, unexpected surprise. But her life was so much bigger than just that, and it really put everything into perspective for us.
Wow. And, you know, we talk about, you know, that a lot of what, her work was done in England, but, you know, she did have American roots. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the family was originally from Brooklyn, and Pamela left Jamaica when she was a really young teenager. I think she was 15, and she was one of the first students to enroll at Brooklyn's Pratt Institute.
I mean, her family was quite prestigious. Not only was her grandfather the mayor of Brooklyn, but her grandmother was a publisher of children's books out of Boston. And another one of her relatives had this amazing emporium on Broadway where painters and thinkers and all sorts of people would come by not only to buy painting supplies, but to have soirees. And I think that really, that legacy imprinted Pamela with the idea that being an artist and being in tune with the other artists of the day was very important to her. And I think it had a lifelong impression about how to lead your life as an independent person.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, anybody out there that wants to write a screenplay, she would be a great person to do a movie around. And I'd love to see your books also become a movie.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit more about your series of books and where they're going. I have right here, I love the first book that you did. And, you know, it's so much fun. I mean, it's like a book. It's about her life, but also about, I mean, all these amazing people that were her friends. But it's done, it's like a story. It's something that an adult can love and also a young teenager. But I know you're going to do more of them. So can we talk a little bit more about those? And then I also want to make sure that people know where to find you and where your website and everything is. So I'm like, bringing all these notes in my head.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Sharona. Sharona. My second book, we're going in chronological order in the major arcana, High Priestess and Empress, has just been agreed to be printed by a firm. I'm going to make the announcement in the next 2 weeks when I sign the contract. That will be out at the end of next year. And I'm almost done writing the third book, Emperor and Hierophant. And so what I've done is I've taken the people that might have inspired Pamela to draw the tarot cards. And I've written a historical novel with magic realism in it, describing how Pamela came to create these tarot cards based on people that she knew. So in the second book, High Priestess and Empress, we have Ellen Terry and Florence Farr from the Golden Dawn as her two muses. And in the third book, we have Bram Stoker and Pascal Kamal, who was an Egyptologist at the British Museum at the time, helping Pamela figure out how to channel into the Egyptian frequency of what the symbols meant. So hopefully, as we get to all 11 books, we'll really understand not only Pamela's journey with the Golden Dawn and Waite and Bram Stoker, but how she actually moved past needing to have muses to inspire her and how she led her own authentic life. So I've loved researching Pamela's life for these books. It takes a lot to try to incorporate for people who don't know Tarot and don't know Pamela to make it accessible to them, but I've loved every minute of it. And I'm part of a historical novel society where I do Zooms and presentations for authors, so I'm understanding a little bit more about how books are released and get out into the world. I'll be doing an evening with Sasha Graham on May 26th called Spirited Away, where a lot of us different tarot readers will get together and present how we do tarot readings out in Brooklyn. And you can find out all those appearances on my website, which is just susanwands.com.
Oh, I definitely have to mark that down. I'm in Manhattan, but I definitely have to find a way to get to Brooklyn. You know, people who don't live in New York don't know what I'm talking about, but it's like, you know, New York City is made up of all these different boroughs, and it's like, but yeah, I have to find a way to get it to Brooklyn. I definitely want to take that in. I mean, I went to Brooklyn, and when I first heard about you was when I went to the show that they had at the Pratt Institute on Pamela, which was... That was so amazing, and I hope there's going to be more shows. And you did say there's some new artwork that has been found.
Yeah.
So, the thing
about that show out at Pratt was that Amitha Steigert and Colleen Lynch, the two women who co-curated that event. I mean, it's just so exciting to think 15-year-old Pamela, you know, one of the youngest women ever to go to school there, was studying drawing and life studies and all these sort of things out in Brooklyn before she shipped off to go to England and start touring with the Lyceum Theater. So sometimes when that Pratt Library is so beautiful with the windows designed by Tiffany and the beautiful new Art Nouveau staircases. What a building. No wonder she was inspired to draw out there. But I think there needs to be a major retrospective once all of there's still today. I'm finding artwork all the time that I was unaware of Pamela's artwork. Just recently, I found one that was called A Strange Sanctuary that looked like she had designed a painting based on the Bethesda Terrace in Central Park. And, you know, I've been, studying Pamela for close to 20 years now, and to find a new piece of artwork that she's done, I just about jumped out of my skin. It was so exciting because she was so prolific, and she had such a great sense of color and line, and that particular piece of artwork is on my Instagram account. But anytime I find anything new by her, I just feel like it's an Easter egg, and I found another Easter egg in the lawn. It's just so exciting.
Yeah, you might want to tell our listeners the name of your Instagram account so that they can follow you there.
Yes, my Instagram account is called Magician and Fool.
Awesome. Yeah, I love, I have the book by Stuart Kaplan, and I'm always like oohing and aahing over all of the artwork in there. And I don't know, I mean, is it possible to get prints of her artwork? I would love to see, I mean, I would love to have, you know, some of the prints up on my wall. Is this something that you think will become available? I mean, because it's magnificent.
That's a great idea. I'll actually mention that to Lynn Sparrow. She's one of the major people at U.S. Games who is tending to Pixie's legacy and making sure that the cards are copyrighted and nothing too untoward happens. But I think that's a great idea. We were talking about the Van Gogh exhibit and that Pamela's cards would be just perfect to have some sort of virtual reality experience. That would be
Can
awesome.
You imagine?
Oh, my gosh. Walk into the devil and see what happens to you then. Yeah. But the fact that she was so prolific, I think that it would be a wonderful retrospective to see everything from her Shakespeare's heroines calendars to all the book plates that she did. And she was also such a great artist for women. Not only in terms of being a mentor and leading the way, but how she drew women was also so empowering because she very rarely drew them as, you know, wilting flowers or, you know, demure little Victorians. She was a new age woman drawing very strong characters who are facing front and holding swords and being very powerful. So it wasn't any of this pre-Raphaelite, you know, teenage children who might be child brides. She was very much on the other side of that idea of how to depict women. And I think her tarot cards really show that. So many of the women.
Yeah.
One of my favorite is the nine of pentacles of coins. It's the woman holding the hooded falcon. They just, all of them have such serenity and such strength to them. And I just really think that she really inspired a new definition of how we see women in images in our subconscious, very powerful and able to do things.
Definitely. Wow. I also was thinking, too, when we were talking about your book series, you got to pitch that to Netflix. I could see those books being a whole series, each book being a series on Netflix. Can you imagine? Well, not just Netflix, any of them, Hulu, I'm not, Prime, any of them.
I've tried to do this before, and I'll be doing it again. There are two series right now that have just the right tone, and one is called The Nevers that's set in Victorian England, and the other one is called, I think, Flesh and Shadow, but both of them are fantastical magical realism, because I think, you know, in terms of talking about magic and Pixie and tarot cards, there's just a lot of discussion that we can't seem to quite get on the page about how psychic Pamela was. I mean, Waite actually said she was one of the most psychic people that he'd ever met, and that she would have full-on conversations with ghosts that were in the house, and that she saw when she was on tour in Ireland, she saw fairies and she saw whole enactments happening around her. So she was out there in the astral field in terms of being able to have communications, which was going on there. So I think that if anybody was tapped in to bring in energy from the other side to the tarot cards, it was Pamela.
Yeah. Well, I feel her energy is out there too. I mean, I've been working on a little project, which was originally just for myself, but, you know, I just started like 4 years ago. I had dreams about, you know, I do readings, and I was at a psychic fair, and I remember this dream so vividly. This woman came, and I couldn't, you know, I said, you know, she looks modern, but yet she looks, because she was wearing, you know, the very trendy boho clothing that a lot of people wear, and the, you know, the beads and the jewelry, and she sat down at my table. So I think for those who dream and those who channel and meditate, she's out there trying to talk to us. So there's no doubt in my mind. I know she's definitely talking to you, you know, so she's not, you know, she's on the other side, but she is very much involved with what's, you know, what's going on now. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
But so many people love this deck, the Waite-Smith deck, and they love her cards. Thank you, Sharona, too, for putting her artwork out there. I really appreciate everything you do for her.
Ditto. As we say, Pixie made us do it. we couldn't help ourselves.
Exactly.
She really let us know. Once again, I want you to tell our listeners where they can follow you and how they can keep in touch with you. So just if you could give out that information, I'll be going back and, typing this in. But if you could, let us know again, I would. I know that they would be interested.
Well, thank you so much, Sharona. You can find me on my website at susanwands.com. On Facebook, I have a Facebook page called Magician and Fool. And on Instagram, I have an Instagram account called Magician and Fool. And I post all the new artwork of Pamela's that I find. I post ideas of other artwork decks that are similar to Pamela's and just little historical things. And when I have appearances or news about my books, I'll post them on my website, Instagram, and Facebook page.
Awesome. So what I need to do, where the time is running through the hourglass, as they say, I do want to talk a little bit about moon magic with our audience. And as I said, we have new moon tomorrow in Taurus, so you want to work with that energy. And then the new moon is actually on Tuesday, so for all my people who are into love and magic, that's a good time for you to make a list or a vision board. And we're talking about storytelling. I always tell people, you want a really magical thing that you can do is you can write the most powerful story about yourself and step into it. If you don't like what's going on, just rewrite it. But don't forget to make yourself the hero or the heroine in the story about yourself. So Tuesday is a good day to do that. And we're also at the bottom of the hour. So before I take a few calls, I do need to let everyone know what's coming up next week. So on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. So right now it's easy to talk about the shows because all of our shows are on at the same time, which is 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. London. That's if you want to come in live. But you can always go there and listen. Like this show will be recorded, so you can go back and listen to this show again. But if you want to catch something live on the network, on Monday we have Wisdom of the Soul show with Janice Puge. And on Friday we have, and this is good too because I don't think I'm going to be able to get to all the calls today, but you can also call in on Friday and talk to Dr. Rose Wilkerson and Dr. Dax Carlisle. They'll be doing life coaching and tarot readings on the air. And next Saturday, May 15th, want to let everyone know that Mary Brown and Dax Carlisle, if any of you are into tarot cards, which I think you probably are if you're here, is they're going to have a guest. Her name is Corby Miltlet. And she's going to be talking about how you can do psychic fairs and expos and be successful at it. So that's going to be kind of like an educational show. And then I want to remind everyone that I will be back again in 2 weeks. My show is on 2 times monthly, so it's always on the second and the fourth Sunday of each month. And on Sunday, in 2 weeks, May 23rd, I'm going to have on a special guest. Her name is Julie Ulrich, and she is an animal communicator. So all of you people out there, it's Mother's Day. This is for all you mothers of, you know, if your baby is furry, if it's scaly, if it's feathered, you can call in and she is able to help you both with, like, you know, animals that are here now and as well as animals that are that are on the other side. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. And I am going to go up to the switchboard and let's see if we see who is waiting out there to talk to us. So are you ready, Susan? Let's see. I'm going to bring in, this one is like your phone number. It is area code 917. So I'm bringing that call on right now. So
hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Who's calling?
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? Are you enjoying our show today?
I am. This is fascinating information. And being a person from the Caribbean, I always celebrate when I hear other fellow West Indians being honored. So.
Yeah.
So I'm engaging in a new endeavor. So I wanted to know what the tarot cards are saying about this new endeavor for me.
Okay. Well, let me, new endeavors, that's really a good thing.
Yes.
I mean, that's what life is all about.
Indeed.
Well, it's funny, right away I was like shuffling my cards and one fell out, so I'm going to have to read
that
one.
It's excited. They're like, you need to hear this.
Well, you've got some good cards. You're definitely on the right path. I mean, this is something that you've thought about a lot. I think the one good thing about, you know, what went on in 2020 is, I know for me, it was a good time. It was, you know, it was not a great time for a lot of things, but it was a really good time if you wanted to find out who you are and where you want to go and, you know, what gifts you really want to bring to the world. So you're definitely emerging from that. And, you know, what's so interesting, like Susan was saying, I got one of the cards, the main card that I drew for you is the Page of Swords.
Oh.
And that's, you know, so you've got a great idea. I mean, right away, swords are about ideas. And,
right.
You know, to rock and roll with it. And then I always pull a card to cross it with just to see anything that you should be aware of. And I've got another page card, which is the Page of Wands, which is all about, you know, fire and, you know, keeping your passion going and not giving up on it. So, I mean, I'm getting like a green light. And then we end up with, guess what? We end up with the Queen of Cups. And what you want to do is that kind of like, I see a lot of love, and it's almost like a lot of spiritual energy around what you want to do.
Ooh, I love it.
And,
Susan,
yeah.
Would you like to add something? I love your talk.
I'd love to. I mean, I've actually been shuffling the cards during your voice so I can get in tune with you. So I'm going to do a quick tweak for you. See what we got here. Let's see. Okay, isn't this funny? The first card for your past is Knight of Wands. So there's you've got some good momentum.
Yeah.
You have some good focus. You know, it's just a matter of keeping a hold of what you have and what you don't have, making sure what's actually in front of you and what's not.
Okay.
In the middle, we have the Lovers. So make sure that you're always in touch with the love of your project and remember why you're doing it. You're going to have some moments where you go, what the heck am I doing? I didn't see this coming. But just remember there's a higher purpose to this, and let that be your lodestar, your north star. Oh, and your last card.
Oh,
I was just telling Sharona about this card before we started. It's the Nine of Pentacles. It's the woman in the olive, in the grape garden, the vineyard with the hooded falcon. This is such a beautiful card for you because this is all about accomplishments and material well-being and foresight. So, you know, make sure you have all your ducks in the row. I mean, it looks like it's very possible to be very successful. Keep on top of your accounting. Make sure what you have going in and what you have coming out. But this bird, like, it looks like it's ready to fly.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
That is so amazing. So amazing.
You're
and for the cards
welcome.
To line up like that, I just know it's true.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well,
Thank you. Thank you, Sharona.
Bye.
Thank you,
Love
Susan.
You.
Love you.
Love you. I'm going to put you back so you can keep listening.
Okay.
And
okay.
I know we can probably go to two more calls, and there's one that I know she has been waiting, or he has been waiting. let's see. Come on, computer. Waiting for that little wheel to start turning. Okay, now it's turning. Okay, area code 860. I know you've been waiting a long time, so I wanted to make sure I got to you. Hi, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, yay, thank you. Lisa, calling from Connecticut.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hi.
Are you enjoying our show?
I have to get a look at this artwork. It sounds magnificent.
Oh, you have to. Like, I mean, you've got to get your hands. There's a book by, it's called Pamela Coleman Smith, The Untold Story. And it's by, you know, the main person is Stuart R. Kaplan, who was the head of U.S. Games. And that book, I mean, I practically drool at the pictures. It's like a coffee table book. But you can also, if you don't have the book, you can, you know, I know you're going to run to Amazon and want to buy it, but you can go online and see everything too, you know. But, you know, it's.
Thank you for that.
So, you have to, I mean, it is, I mean, I don't know why, well, now is the time to, you know, to get this artist out there. I mean, she has some pretty powerful stuff. So, my dear, how can we help you today? Is there something you'd like to know?
Well, what is good in the cards for me coming?
What's coming up for you?
Yes, goodness. I'm looking for some goodness.
Looking for some
well,
goodness.
Well, there's always the... Yeah, that's a good title for a book or a movie, Looking for Some Goodness. I like
well,
that.
Well, here, I'll let's go first for you. Let's see what I can draw. See, get some ideas about what's happening for you. Okay, I'm gonna pull some cards for you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So the first card that I pulled for you was the Queen of Cups. And of all the queens, she can be the most warm-hearted person. So I think it's finding people, and it's so interesting that we got this card on Mother's Day because she's seen as the most mother and friend to artists who are going out with a gift of vision. So if you are trying to launch something or be artistic, she's the person that you go to for comfort and for ideas about how to get yourself out into the world. Now, the second card that I pulled for you is actually the Five of Swords. And five in the deck can be a little brutal sometimes because this has a person standing on a beach. He's holding two swords and picking up a third, and there's two swords that are on the sand. And for me, what this card means is trying to let go of past expectations. I mean, here you have two swords and you're getting another one, and yet the person is looking off to what he thinks he doesn't have or how things could have gone. And this is all about, you know, trying to decide, is this something that's honorable? Is this something that you should have? Are you defeated? Were you betrayed? It's really looking at, look at what you have, not what you lost or what you don't have, but to take account of what are your strong points and how can you march forward into your dreams? Because the last card that I pulled for you is fabulous. It is the Six of Wands, and it's a young man on a horse holding a wand with a laurel wreath on it. And this is all about triumph and good news and realizing your heart's desire because of hard work. So for me, this quick little reading is all about, if you've been discouraged, don't worry. It's part of the process. You need to get back on that horse and see your projects through. But find some good support systems so that you feel encouraged that you can go through it. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. The betrayal is perfect. Exactly what I'm doing. Thank you.
You're so welcome, my dear.
Yeah, that's so right on, Susan. I mean, that's almost the same thing that I got about, everything that you said, but I think you're at a point where things are going to start. I mean, and this is what I think that you're going to be happy to hear, where things are going to start to move. You're at a turning point. You know, this is, you know, you've got the Wheel of Fortune came up, and that would mean that things are going to be turning around, and we have a lot of Knights cards, you know, that it's going to be a swift turnaround. And this is an opportunity, though, for you to, I mean, you have to look at what you already have, you know, compare it, see what you like. I mean, I see you examining and balancing and, you know, evaluating everything and making plans. You know, we have like the Temperance card where you've got one foot on the land and one in the water. You know, you're moving forward, and you know, just to go with it and lead with your heart. I mean, like is this a creative thing that you're doing? Because, you know, it ends up with the Empress card.
I want to write
Hello?
A book. Hello? I want to write a children's book about service dog.
Yep, then do it. You know, just do it. I mean, that's what we're getting. And, yes, we're getting a big yes. I'm getting a yes on it. You know, trust in your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if there's competition. That's all good, you know, and everything that you've been through before, that's stuff you can put in the book that you can build upon. Go for it.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy Mother's
Wow.
Day.
Wow. Happy Mother's Day. And, you know, if you're writing a book, yes, stay in touch with us. Call in again. We want to hear more about your book and where it's going. I think it's going to be something that, you know, everyone here is going to want to learn more about. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. God bless you both. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was lovely.
Lovely. We have such lovely people who call into this show. I know that, you know, it's all about, you know, bringing into our lives love and magic. You know, they work, you know, what we love and you know, building love around our desires that we feel in our heart. That's the key to manifesting, you know, just feeling it and going with it, you know. Of course, you got to do the work, I would say, but,
yeah.
You know, love and magic, you can't go wrong with either of those two things. So we're going to take one more call because We are going to run over an hour, but that's okay. And I am taking area code 215. Hello, where are you calling from and what is your name? Hi there.
Hi, Sharona.
Hey.
It's Athena. Hi.
Hi, Athena. Thanks for calling in. Are you enjoying the show today?
I am. I am. It's been great hearing everything and just, solidifying and clarifying the tarot for me. Because, you know, sometimes, like, when you see, like, a sword come up or like, the pages, you know, you just sort of wonder, you know, the depth of what they mean or how they, you know, if they're directed towards you or not or whatever. So, yeah, great information. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Yeah,
and, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I always tell people don't be afraid of the swords. So it's really, you know, the swords are about our metal, you know, the things that are in the mind. And
yes,
it's with our thoughts create. And
yes,
that's where we, you know, one reason why the swords get a little scary is, you know, our thoughts create. So it's kind of a reminder to be aware of what we're thinking. And, yes, you know, we might get a message where there might be something that that's a cautionary thing where there's danger. So we have to react to those. But we also need to know that, you know, we can if we're going down the wrong highway, we can turn the car around.
Yeah.
So, you know, thoughts are they're very powerful. But yeah, that's kind of like Erin goes, oh, I love the cups, but I'm not crazy about the swords, but not to be feared.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what happens for me sometimes when I read the cards, like I get like a little stuck in whether or not how do you read it as an esoteric meaning or mundane meaning, you know, so that confuses me every now and then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, I think you have to look at it both ways. I mean, certainly the major arcana cards, we always say those are the ones that, you know, have elements that that are bigger events and things that we can't possibly, we can change them, but it also has to be, and that's where the swords come in, we need to change the way we look at it and see the gift in it. And then the minors are always kind of more about the mundane things. But, you know, that's one way. I mean, the thing is, every time you pick up your deck, it's almost like you have to, in some ways, remember what you've learned before, but also throw that out and read in the moment. Because you don't want
to
bring in past meanings that, you know, into the present time. Susan, what do you think?
I think that sometimes the readings don't make sense at the time. And sometimes it's a little distance that actually things start to fall into place a little better. I think Mary Greer has a good idea when you're doing an intuitive reading is that you just take the images at face value and you just kind of make a mental note of it. And later on, you may think, oh, that's why I have the sword, is because it, you know, whatever's happening in your life, either you're editing or the sword cuts both ways, or there's some reason why you're a little stuck there is because you're actually in the process of sorting out some things that have to do with that image. But I don't think you have to worry about putting pressure on yourself that every reading has to strike the heart of exactly what you're doing, because we're complicated people and there's a lot of things going on at the time. So I think just taking a note going, gosh, I've gotten this card three times in a row. It doesn't make any sense for what I'm going through right now. And sometimes you just have to acknowledge the card going, I hear you, but I don't get you. And then the card sort of leaves you alone because it goes, okay, as long as you are marking that I'm showing up for a reason, eventually you'll see that it sort of disappears back into the deck in a way.
Oh, that's great. Wow, that's really interesting. I never thought it to look at it that way, but that definitely makes lots of sense, and it does put it into a great perspective. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. You're quite welcome. Can we do a little reading for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me just take a moment here. I just want to, now that I've heard your lovely voice, I just want to take a moment, Athena, to shuffle with your energy into it a little bit. Excellent. Okay. I'm going to get some cards going on for you here. Okay. Oh, you'll like this. So the first card that I've got for you sort of speaks to your confusion about tarot cards. It's the Seven of Cups. And it's this person standing in front of all these different images going, what on earth is a laurel wreath? It looks like Jesus is coming out of a cup with a shroud on it. There's the head of Medusa. So this could actually be directed at your confusion about the fantasy aspects of what these cards are in terms of what are they saying? I'm not understanding. It's all these things. The second card I pulled for you is the Ten of Wands. And that's a person who's carrying all these wands and he's hunched over. And this is a suggestion that you may be working too hard, that you can't see the forest for the trees, that you're actually taking these problems and they're bowing you over. And it's sort of asking you to just let go of putting that excessive pressure on yourself, because the last card I pulled for you is the Queen of Pentacles. And this is the queen of ideas and visions, and it's all about being generous and at liberty with your ideas. So just know that you're on the right track in terms of trying to do introspection and figure out how to address, how do I ask for guidance, not for answers, but give yourself patience. You know that those ideas and those solutions are within literally your grasp, but sometimes it takes time to launch them where they can actually be effective for you.
Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Oh, cool. Thank you, Sharona. This was a great episode. I mean, all your shows are great, and wow, this is so much depth of information in those cards. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling in. And, you know, I see great things coming for you, my dear, you know. You know, just to trust, and if you get a negative thought, try to figure out where that's coming from, and then just let it go. You know, it's only our thoughts that defeat us. And
right, yeah.
Wow, yeah, you have tremendous creative gifts, and you know, it's funny, you know. A lot of the same cards are coming up, the Nine of Pentacles, the self-made woman, and the Queen of Cups and the Empress. And I know that you know what those cards mean, and you can do it. I mean, you know, it's like there's, you know, the whole world. I mean, we were in like kind of a stuck, the energy was kind of stuck. But it's starting to happen for those who believe. And believe, and you can do it.
Oh, great. Well, thanks. It's really, really powerful.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
You got the magic. You got the magic, and you add a little love to it, and there you go.
That's
great.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks. I sure will.
Yeah, keep on keeping on and doing what you're doing, and you're on the way there. Don't for a minute think that. Don't give up on it. You know,
great.
Just add a little magic to it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I
we love you.
Definitely keep that. Love you too. Thanks so much.
Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
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 Okay.
Aww.
Well, we are at, we have run through the hour. So what I know there's some people that would like for us to to take their calls. So I just want to remind them they can call in next Friday to the show that Dax and Mary and Dax does with Dr. Rose Wilkerson, and also next Saturday. And I will be back on the fourth Sunday of the month, and that's Sunday, May 23rd, and my guest will be Julie Allred, and she is just an incredible, incredible animal psychic or animal communicator. So if you want to get a message from your animal or your bird or your fish, she does it for all different kinds of animals. That is the show to call in. So that will be a continuation of the Mother's Day energy. So you don't want to miss that. And I, Susan, thank you for joining me here today. It's been so much fun.
Yes, I always have fun with you. You're just such a delight, Sharona. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. And, wow, I mean, I want to sprinkle a little magic on what you're doing. Come on. Come on. I want to see the magician and the fool. I want to see that as a series on one of the streaming on one of the networks. I mean, I can already think of an actress who would be perfect for Pamela. but
That's
you know,
great.
What a great show. Yeah. I mean, that whole story, you know, it's you know, it really happened, but I don't think, you know, it's almost like reality is greater than what anyone could think up, and that was Pamela's life. So,
exactly.
So we got to see that happen. So thank you, Susan Wands. And I want to thank each one of my listeners who called in today. Want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. You know, and as I said, you don't have to, I mean, like Pamela, she had 78 children, which is kind of a record, and that was each one of her cards. So what, I mean, our children don't even have to be, you know, we talked about, you know, animals and everything, but it's any gift that you want to bring forth from your heart. Those are your children, you know, your gifts that you put out there to the world. And let's see what else I can leave you with. Yeah, our word of the year that we've been talking about is the word speak. And I always say you want to watch your words, because words are spelling. You know, whether you say it out loud, also it's very powerful spelling. Anything you write down. You know, if you make a list of what you want to see happen each day, I mean, I get up every morning and I make a list, and I love checking it off, you know, going, wow, I'm doing my magic. But it is spelling. You know, words are so magical, whether it's a book like Susan writes, but also the most powerful words are the words that we say to ourselves. So make sure that you say to yourself, I'm strong. I'm confident. I'm magical. I'm enough. I'm beautiful. I deserve the best. I deserve love. Because those words, particularly the ones that you say to yourself, are very, very powerful. And also, don't forget, as we always say on this show, everything is energy. The universe and you and I. And you want to pay attention to what is the energy that's around you? Because there are answers there. There is love there. And don't forget to focus on what is positive in your life, because when you do that, guess what happens? You get even more of that, because we do live in a magical universe. So I want you to keep your energy and your vibrations high. And, of course, I want you to step into your power and awake your magic. So until we meet again on Sunday, May the 23rd, I am wishing you countless blessings, high vibrations, love and magic, and happy Mother's Day. I love you all. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, Sharona.
Bye.